The scripture reading for today will be Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Good morning. It is truly a blessing to be able to be with you this morning. We are thankful for the opportunity to always on the first day of the week to worship the Lord, and we have enjoyed being able to do that this morning, to sing songs of praise and to go to God in prayer as we have been blessed and afforded that opportunity this morning. Kristen and I personally are here. We still are have some things left to do this week to, I guess, officially move in. We are excited to be here in Kansas, no less. Our kids are not with us this week because we have a lot ahead of us this week that we have to do, signing a lot of papers and stuff on the house, things of that nature, but they will be with us next week, Lord willing, and so we are very thankful for grandparents that are willing to have put up with us for about 8 weeks at their house, and also keeping the grandkids for another week. So you might want to keep them in your prayers, those grandparents. I'm sure they would be appreciative of it. But this morning I want us to open up in our Bibles to the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, as we have just heard in our reading this morning. Setting the context of what was going on at this time, Moses, Israel's leader, had just died. The man who had confronted Pharaoh, the one who had led Israel across the Red Sea, the leader who had gone with them through the wilderness for 40 years, who had led them and taught them, given them the law, the one who had climbed the heights of Sinai to receive the law, that he had just died. You can imagine the tremendous loss that that might have been. While in my lifetime I've never seen a president be assassinated, many of you still might remember the circumstances of whenever JFK was killed and how that shook the nation. You can imagine that is how Israel was feeling, that a tremendous leader had just passed away. And this could have easily been a very volatile time where the children of Israel would have backed away, where they would have said, well, Moses is gone. What chance do we have? We're right here on at the brink of the Jordan. We're ready to cross over, but our leader is no longer with us. The sorrow and the despair might have been easy for them to set in. But that is not how this goes. Because what you have here is a very critical word that comes up, or several key words that are in this text in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Words of comfort and empowerment. And that God says that you need to be strong and courageous and I will give you the land. Nothing has changed in terms of God's promise. He says at the end of verse 7, as he is telling them to be, again, very strong and courageous, and that they should observe the law, he says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. God was still with Israel, and he was still promising them great success, that they were still going to be able to inherit the promise land that they were striving for, that they were had been hoping to receive. And Joshua 1 here is one of those great passing of the torch moments in the Bible, where you might think of a relay racer who passes the baton to someone else to finish the race and to win. Teamwork. Or you might think of a presidential inauguration, the peaceful transfer of power, something that this nation in particular is very good at exemplifying and modeling, and how we peacefully transition from one to another, from one leader to another. Elijah and Elisha in the Bible. Elijah the mentor and Elisha the disciple, the faithful learner who would step into that role. I had some people ask me what was my first sermon going to be on, and I couldn't help but think of a text like this, where this congregation is kind of having this sort of moment, aren't we? Where, Mike, you get to be Moses here, okay? That's a good thing. Where we are in sort of that passing of the baton. We are in that moment of transition. Brother Mike O'Neill has worked with the church here for many, many years. And I know that he loves you. He loves the church and his devotion to God, his commitment to helping you get to heaven. And I know that is appreciated by me and the rest of you. But life brings about changes. And my family is moving here, and we are excited about that opportunity. And we are thankful to be here. We feel blessed that you have already blessed our lives, and we hope that we will be a blessing to you. And yet, what you read about here in Joshua chapter 1 is that even in times of transition, in times of change, there can still be great success. There can still be things that we look forward to. And he says to be strong and very courageous, that you will have success wherever you go. He continues on in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Success is a very elusive term, especially in our modern culture and the modern day use of it. Many people think of success and that you find success in your career and whenever you ascend the ladder and you work your way up, or in politics that you receive a certain deal of power and prestige and a reputation, or in business or in the community and the activism of being involved in your community, or the semblance of wealth or community status, that you're a member of this organization and you do this to help with this civic club, or you're a part of this church and not that church. Churches, I believe, while that is how we might individualize success for us individually, churches oftentimes seek out success, don't we? We want to have maybe a bigger building or a greater number of people that attend here, or a bigger budget. We think of success oftentimes in those kinds of terms. But how often, whenever you are to define success, how often do you define success by your commitment to God's Word? Because that is where success, in a biblical sense, is really founded. That is what God told Joshua and Israel was the key to success. A commitment to God's Word and following it. That success wasn't arbitrary or unclearly defined. Success was seizing God's promise of entering the promised land. The Lord continued to be with Israel even whenever Moses died. God was still there. in Joshua 1 and verse 1, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses.'" God was still there. His word was still there. His promise was still there. Even in the midst of the grief and the sorrow, the sadness, there was still God's presence and His word. And He appointed Joshua to lead the nation into the land of Canaan. I'm going to hope I hit the right button. I think I did. All right. The Lord promised that Israel would have good success and that they would receive the promises that God had made. And that is where you see that in the book of Deuteronomy, that God had formulated this plan. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and in verse 6, notice the language here that God, as He is speaking with Moses before Moses dies, He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And God had promised and made this promise that this receiving the land, all the way back in Abraham, but here more immediately to Moses. And Moses tells Joshua, "You're going to be the one that does this." And so whenever you come to Joshua chapter 1, now the Lord is speaking with Joshua, just as He had done with Moses. That He is going to remind him of that you are the one that will lead this people. And the verses that we have looked at in Joshua chapter 1 in verses 5 through 9, "Be strong and courageous." That's what God had told Moses. And then as you continue on in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 16, as Israel has assembled together and they are essentially saying, "Yes, we are going to follow you, Joshua." They answer Joshua, verse 16, saying, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey Him, obey your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Israel reminded Joshua. As you can imagine, Joshua here, "How am I going to follow in the footsteps of Moses? How am I going to be able to have success? How am I going to be able to lead these people?" And the people commit themselves to following Joshua. They announce their pledge of obedience to the Lord, and they reiterate the promise and the exhortation of the Lord to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Lead us." Because they understood that whenever God makes promises, we can have great success if we will remain committed to following those promises. We need to first act with direction. If we're going to have success, if we're going to be able to follow the Lord faithfully, we have to act with direction. We have to be committed to following the right way. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, notice here in Joshua 1 and verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Stay on the right path. That is the beginning to success. You have to follow the right direction. I'm glad that I had GPS yesterday, because there were so many places that I could have turned and veered off. And we told my family where we were at. We have a group text that we tell, you know, all extended family where we're traveling and all that kind of thing. And we, Kristen told them that we were in Texas. And my grandmother is, why are you in Texas when you're trying to go to Kansas? Well, my answer is because that's where the GPS told me to go. And that's probably not the right attitude to have, but you had to go up a little in from Louisiana to Kansas. You had to go up through Texas a little bit. But if I had turned to the left or to the right and gone a completely different direction, an opposite direction, I probably wouldn't have gotten here, at least in the kind of time that I was hoping to make. We have to act with direction. We have to follow the way that the Lord has prescribed and that He has told us. Do not veer off to the left or to the right. You have to follow in the ways of the Lord. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, whenever Paul and Barnabas are on their first missionary journey, they begin preaching and they run into the first convert that they really have in Sergius Paulus. And Elymas is a magician. He's kind of like Simon the Sorcerer. He is someone who deceives people for money. And he was opposing Paul and Barnabas, and he was wanting to turn the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, away from the faith, it tells us in Acts chapter 13 and verse 8. But Elymas the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who is also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him. And notice in verse 10, notice what he says there. And said, "You are full of all deceit and fraud. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" Here was someone who wanted to turn to the left or to the right. He wanted to make what was straight crooked. And that is the danger that we are facing, where people are seeking to turn us away from the straight ways of the Lord, where people want us to follow after our heart or after this, follow after this person or go to this place and you will find success here, but not just following the rigid structures of God's Word. There are several people that tried to deceive us, just like Elymas tried to do, where they want to pervert and twist the Scriptures and the Word of God. They want to deceive us and lead us astray. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in all of the Bible, but it is one of the best chapters, because it is devoted to what it means to follow God's law. In Psalm 119 and 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That God's word is what lights our way. And we are on this path of life, and it is the light that we need along that path. You ever been out in the woods or been somewhere where it was really dark and you didn't have much light? You know how hard it is to see where you're going and where even your feet might land? Just one or two steps ahead, you can barely see. Sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? Dark, isolated, alone, difficult. And we don't know where we're going. But God's Word is that lamp that we need. Without the commands of God, We are lost without a guide. When we begin to veer off a path without a compass that might set us straight, without light, without any sign of wherever we may be, we can easily be lost and wandering around aimlessly. But we have direction given to us by the Lord. And in Joshua 1, He tells us to not stray. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Stay on that path. Even whenever some might begin to say, well, God's law is just too demanding. That, you know, only one reason for divorce. Or that we begin to think that all the things that society accepts as normal now. That homosexual marriage, God's law is just too demanding. You don't need to follow God's law. That's antiquated. That's for an ancient people in a different time. We need to change based on with the times. We need to keep up with what is going on in our society today. That's what we're told. And they believe that God's laws and commands can change. Or while maybe some people believe that God's law and His commands are really not all that important, there may be good suggestions, maybe it's a good outline to follow, but not really binding. You know, I've heard people say God's Word is descriptive but not prescriptive. Have you heard something along that line? That's a cute little saying of saying we don't have to do exactly what the book says. No, God's Word means what it means. And He expects us to follow it. You need to read Psalm 119 and ask yourself if any of those kinds of attitudes measure up with the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 119. We need to make this our approach to God's law. That God's Word is a lamp and a guide to us along the way. As we read in the prophets, in the book of Hosea, in Hosea chapter 14, Hosea says, "Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them." That's the last verse to the book of Hosea. He wants us to realize that God's Word means something. We need to be committed to following it. The straight ways of the Lord, they are the ways of righteousness and truth and holiness. And we need to follow God's law intentionally, carefully, with purpose and direction. And it will make us wise and discerning. And secondly, we see in Joshua chapter 1 in our text this morning that we are devoted to God. In Joshua chapter 1 in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Notice he tells us this book of the law is not to depart from you, that you're to meditate on it day and night, all of the time. That is devotion. Devotion, something that you do all of the time. You know, a good golfer, a good baseball player, they practice, they're out there all the time. They do it day and night. They practice, and if they're not practicing, they think about practicing. And they are devoted to the game, we would say. Whenever we are devoted to God, it is an expression of our love, as we spoke about this morning. We need to be loving God with this kind of devotion, with this kind of intense commitment to following His Word and doing what is right. But it's not just about doing it. While doing it is certainly a huge part of it, we need to be thinking about it. We need to be thinking about God's Word. We need to be conceptualizing it and pondering it. That's the idea of what meditation is. Meditation is where we think about and reflect on the law of God, where we have it in our mind and in our heart at all times. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 1, the very first psalm in this hymn book, the people of Israel, it is a psalm about meditation of the law. It opens in verse 1, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." That this person who is blessed, he is putting the law into his heart, into his mind, not just once a week, not just a few times a week, not just a few times a month, but day and night, all of the time. In Psalm 119, the psalm that we were just speaking about a little bit ago, in Psalm 119 and in verse 97, in Psalm 119 and in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day." Could you say those words truthfully? Could you say what the psalmist wrote? In all honesty, is that your thought throughout the day about God's Word, about God's people, about what God expects of you? How often do you think about it? How often do you talk about it? Whenever you're devoted to bettering yourself, you have to give it your all. You have to be focused on the goal. And as Christians, we need to be focused on God's Word all of the time. Not just whenever we're in this building, but beyond this building. Whenever we go home, are we reading our Bible? Are we having discussions about God's Word around the dinner table? Are we talking about what we have studied in Bible class? The Lord demands that we follow Him every day. Day and night. And it begins with successful meditation. And meditation is not kind of the Eastern idea of doing yoga and alms or whatever. That's not what meditation is. Meditation, from a biblical standpoint, is reading God's Word daily. Learning and increasing your knowledge of God's law. And then after you learn and you understand what God's Word says, you think about it. You ponder it. And you think about the meaning. I would suggest you pray about it as well. That you pray for help, that now that you understand this is what you need to be doing, this is your commitment, this is what it's supposed to look like in your life, you pray for it. You pray for help. You pray for success. And then you do it. You apply it. That is what successful meditation will look like. And whenever you do that, you're going to realize that when your thoughts come under your power and your control and you're thinking about what God wants you to think about, when you're thinking about God's Word, you're going to find that you see strength and encouragement throughout the day. I believe it's why in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, whenever Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things," or meditate on these things. You think about these things. Because whenever you think about those things, you eventually do those things. There's a relationship between our mind and our actions. And whenever you think about something, you eventually do it. You know, whenever a child might do something, this might be more about my family, I don't know, but it's one of those things. Our oldest son, he's not here, so I can pick on him a little bit. Whenever he does something and it's the wrong thing, he'll say, "Well, I didn't think about it." Well, I know you didn't think about it. That's the problem. You need to think about it. I hope, maybe I'm the only one that has that, but has that problem, because that you have to think about the right thing. You have to think about it, and then your actions follow suit. And not thinking about it is not an excuse, because God expects us to think about it. Our thoughts and our actions are linked. And Paul, he clearly wants us to think and dwell on the things that are good and honorable, because he wants us to do the things that are good and honorable. Because everything is to be in subjection to God Almighty. Then we see one last point from our text this morning in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all which Moses my servant commanded you." All of it. But he tells us to do it. To do according to all the law. Be careful. It's going to take planning. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take determination. If we are going to be doing what God says, we have to be obedient. We have to be obeying and being obedient with a certain degree of diligence and commitment. We have to be involved in taking great care to do what is right. We have to be diligent day and night, all of the time. He tells us in verse 8, when he is speaking about meditating on the law day and night, this is to be something that is to be embodied within us. It is supposed to be something that we do all of the time. Because that is how obedience will really be seen. Whenever we are committed to following God's Word, it will be lived out and exemplified in our actions. And obedience must be accomplished with diligence and with intention. Reminded of what James would say in James chapter 1. In the book of James, in James chapter 1, when James is talking about being not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. In James chapter 1 and in verse 24, he says, "For once a man has looked at himself and gone away, looking into that mirror, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But then in contrast, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." This is someone who looks at God's Word and examines it and thinks about it and says, "This is what I need to change. This is where I need to do better. This is what I'm going to do. This is what is going to be my resolve and my commitment. And I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do it because God expects me to." But sometimes we're like that person who looks in the mirror and just walks away. Yeah, that's what God's Word says, but I'm not going to do it. Sometimes things get in the way. Our priorities get shifted and we don't want to do it. Remember the rich young ruler? He asked, "What do I need to do?" He said, "One thing, go and sell all that you have." And he went away sorrowful. There's a lot of people that allow wealth or other priorities to get in their way of doing what God's Word says. And it begins with looking into the law. being careful to do all that the law commands. And God's promises are there for us. They are within our grasp if we will act with direction, if we will love the Lord with devotion, and if we will obey with diligence. And that is why He commends Joshua to leading the people of Israel, the Lord did. And He told them, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The life of success. We're not talking about that elusive kind of success, the superficial kind of success. We're talking about a success that is based upon receiving God's promises. God has given us guidance and direction. And we need to give Him our heart and our life in commitment. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, as the Hebrew writer was admonishing the people to be faithful to God, in Hebrews chapter 13, He says in verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? God has promised that He will be with us. Taken from some of the texts that we've seen in the book of Deuteronomy and in Joshua. That God has given us success if we will be eager and diligent to trust in Him and be faithful to Him and do what He says. God has a life of success planned for anyone who will trust in His promises. He promises us everlasting life in glory with Him. And just as Joshua was about to lead people of Israel into their promised land, there's a land of rest that God has prepared for us. As Christians, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ and have been obedient to Him in baptism, who have had their sins washed away, we have the hope of eternal life to dwell in that land, in that city that God has prepared, where we will be with Christ our Lord and God our Savior. That is the ultimate success that we are seeking. And God's promised that to us, if we will be faithful to Him. And if you have never become a Christian, we would encourage you to become a child of God this morning. Do not put it off. Become a Christian. Seize God's promise. But if you have done that, if you have become a child of God, if you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you've not been living faithfully, if you've not been devoted to the Lord, we want you to make correction in your life. Come back to God if you want to have the success that God has planned for you. Act with direction, love with devotion, and obey with diligence. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.